Welcome to Torah Temecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Tesvov, the 15th Perek. Quick recap of what we learned yesterday. Yehoshua and Elazar HaKohen, together with the heads of the tribes, had begun the division of Eretz Yisrael. We hear how there is going to be a lottery, and with the use of the Urim V'Tumim, each tribe is going to receive its inheritance, its portion in the land. We're going to start with the story of Kalev ben Yefunah, reminding Yehoshua of the promise that Moshe had made to Kalev, that he should be given the city of Hebron. And Yehoshua blesses Kalev and gives him Hebron as a portion. This parak is now going to turn to the division of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to start with the tribe of Yehuda. We'll hear in this parak about the boundaries of the portion of Yehuda. The parak will end with listing the different cities within Yehuda, but the parak takes a short break in the middle to tell us the story of Kalev Hebron, and we will be introduced to somebody called Asniel ben Kenaz. The parak ends reminding us that the Yavusi, the Jebusites in Yerushalayim, were not driven out of the land. It's a very long, detailed parak. There are 63 pasukim in this parak, and it's going to give us a lot of details of the exact boundaries of the tribe of Yehuda. I'd like to start pointing out, though, that when you read these pasukim inside, you can think to yourself, whoa, there's a lot of details here. There's many names, some I'm familiar with, some I'm not familiar with. And truth is, a lot of the information of the exact locations has been lost to us today. And we might think, what really is the purpose of all of these details? So the Gemara in the Nedarim Kaf Beis 22, Amud Beis tells us, Amar Rav Adda Barabbi Chanina, Rabbi Adda, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, says, Il male lo chotu Yisrael, had the Jewish people not sinned, lo niten lahem ela chamishe chumshe Torah v'sefer Yehoshua bilvad, they would have only needed to have been given the five books of the Torah and Sefer Yehoshua. Why Sefer Yehoshua? She'arka shel Eretz Yisrael hu, because it includes the arrangement of Eretz Yisrael, and Rashi there adds, she'kasuv bo erech chelek shel kol shevet v'shevet. It's described there in great detail the boundaries of all of the different shvatim, of all of the different tribes. So these next prakim, with all of their great details, are actually vital for us. Ezrat Hashem, when we come back to the land, we are going to need to know all of these details, although there's a chance that many of them will change. But also, we need to know them because of all the halachos of the mitzvahs taluyas ba'aretz, the special mitzvahs connected to the land of Israel. And we do need to know the exact borders of the land in order to understand where these mitzvahs have to be kept. So the parak opens with the boundaries of Yehuda. Pasukim Aleph to Yud Base are going to detail the outside, the actual borders of the boundaries. And again, without a map, without a visual, it is quite difficult to understand it. So I'm going to sort of describe it using places that we might be familiar with today. Pasuk Aleph starts by telling us, Vayihi hagorel lamate b'nei Yehuda lemishpachosam. And this is going to be the lot for the tribe of Yehuda and their families. And the area starts, the border is going to start by the southeastern tip of their portion, of their inheritance. And this is going to start basically from the bottom of the area of the Yam HaMelech. Now, again, imagine if you're looking at a map of the Yam HaMelech, we know that there's an upper part and a lower part. This lower part looked like a tongue protruding. Nowadays, much of that area has been dried up. We sort of only have really the lower tip where the hotels are now today. But this point is where the southeastern border of the tribe of Yehuda's inheritance begins from. And we're going to move from there westwards, going all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And we're going to pass through the Negev area. Negev, of course, means south, southern area, but the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, points out that the word Negev comes from the word linnagev, to dry out, because this area in Eretz Yisrael is which is actually part of the desert belt, you know, the desert belt that goes around the entire world. It's an area that's dry both in the summer and in the winter. The actual rainfall in this area of Eretz Yisrael is incredibly low. Be'er Sheva gets the most amount of rain. They get between 300 and 350 millimeters a year, which is really nothing. And the areas of the Arava Valley gets up to only 50 millimeters of rainfall a year. So this is really Negev. This is a really dry, dry area. And this is going to be the lower border of the tribe of Yehuda. We're going to pass places like Ma'ale Akrabim. We actually have a road today called Ma'ale Akrabim. It's a road that goes from the Arava Valley, the lowest point in the world, all the way sneaking up to the Negev Plateau, again, using modern locations, the Machteshim, that's the area of the Machteshim. But basically, the border goes all the way along from there until it hits the Mediterranean. And we're told, Pasuk Dalet, V'avar Atzmona, it's going to pass Atzmona, V'yotza Nachal Mitzrayim, and it's going to come out at the Brook of Egypt. And these are the, this is the most southern border of the tribe of Yehuda. So what is this Nachal Mitzrayim? According to some Mefarshim, this is an eastern tributary of the Nile. Other Mefarshim say this is Wadi El Arish, which is about 130 kilometers east of the Nile River in the Sinai Peninsula area. From there, we're going to hear the eastern border, which is going to go along the Yam HaMelech, all the way up the Yam HaMelech until it reaches the Yardin. And then we're going to hear about the northern border. And this is going to pass all the way from this northern tip, the Dead Sea, the Jordan River area. It's quite a bumpy border. It's going to go, you know, up mountains and down mountains and round different streams. Again, we're going to meet there lots of names that we might be familiar with. There's actually a rule in Eretz Yisrael that a city can only receive a biblical name if there's actually a very high chance the original city was in that vicinity. And sometimes when they named cities, they were pretty convinced that this was actually, you know, the spot where it was. A great example is they named Kiryat Gat, was originally called Gat, because they thought that this was the Philistine city of Gat. Later on, they found out that they were a little off. This wasn't Gat at all. So they sort of renamed it, calling it Kiryat Gat. But actually, when the city is given a biblical name, they have to be pretty sure that the original city from Tanakh was in that area. So we're going to hear places, names of places that we might be familiar with. We're going to pass by on this northern border, Ma'ale Adumim, Ein Rogel, a spring where they used to do their laundry. They would tread on their laundry with their raglai, and their feet, says Rashi. Gei Ben Hinnom, this is the valley where lots of different terrible idolatrous practices happens. Again, we may know where Gei Ben Hinnom is. If you can imagine, by Shaar Tzion, you look down into this area of Gei Ben Hinnom. And this area, says the Pesukim, is at the edge of Emek Rephaim. And again, this probably would not be too far away from the street today in Yerushalayim called Emek Rephaim. This is all going along the mountain range. Now we're going slightly south of Yerushalayim, continuing to a spring called Mei Neftoach. Many associate this with the area called Lifta today. Again, using modern locations, this might be, this is where Center One is, or the Cords Bridges. The border then passes through Kiryat Yearim, Telstone of today, and then past Beit Shemesh. Now we're going to see actually a few Beit Shemeshes coming up when we talk about all the different Nachalos in the Eretz Canaan. And we know that sun service was very popular in the Canaanite period, and therefore there were a lot of Beit Shemeshes or Ein Shemeshes, cities that received the name Shemesh. The border then reaches the Mediterranean around a place called Yavnel. And Chazal tell us that this was likely to be Yavne, what we know as Yavne in later times. The western border of the tribe of Yehuda goes all the way south from there along the Mediterranean coast. And Pasuk Yud Beis concludes, Ugevul Yam Hayama Hagadol, the western border is the border with the Great Sea, the Mediterranean, and this is the border of the children of Yehuda and their families. The end of the parak is also going to give us a very detailed list within the Nachal of Yehuda of all of the different cities, but I want to focus though on a story that comes up in the middle of the parak from Pesukim Yud Gimel to Yud Tes, from 13 to 19. We are going to hear Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ola Kalev ben Yifuna Nasan Chelek Besoch b'nei Yehuda, that Kalev ben Yifuna had been given a portion in the tribe of Yehuda. And we know this was Al-Pi Hashem Yeshua, what Hashem had commanded Yehoshua to do. And this area was Kiryat Arba. In Pasuk Yudalet, we're told that we know Kiryat Arba is Chevron. By Yoresh Misham Kalev es Shlosha b'nei Ha'anak, Kalev is going to be able to drive out from there these three giants, Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai, these three giants who are children of Anak. And from there, Pasuk Tetzvav tells us that Kalev continues on his conquering journey. Vayal Misham El Yoshvei Dvir, and he comes up from there to a place called Dvir. Vashem Dvir Lefanim, and the name of Dvir beforehand was Kiryas Sefer. Was Kiryat Sefer. This is not connected at all to the modern city of Kiryat Sefer. In fact, when they named Kiryas Sefer, the city next to Modi'in, they were told that they could not have that name. And therefore, they had to change it to Modi'in Elite. Going back to our story, what happens at Kiryat Sefer or at Dvir? Kalev says in Pasuk Tesayin, Vayome Kalev Asher Yake es Kiryat Sefer Olachta, whoever is able to capture Kiryat Sefer, smite it and conquer it. V'nasati lo es Achsa Bitilisha, I'm going to give him Achsa, my daughter, as a wife. We're familiar with this idea of, you know, a challenge where you have to conquer an enemy and then you can receive the leader's daughter as a wife. We're going to see this later with Shaul HaMelech giving David Michal. And here, who steps forward to take up the challenge? Yud Zayin, Vayilkada Asnel ben Kenaz. Asnel ben Kenaz captures it. Who is Asnel ben Kenaz? Achi Kalev, the brother of Kalev. So the Gemara tells us they are half brothers, because of course Asnel is ben Kenaz, the son of Kenaz, and Kalev is ben Yefuneh, the son of Yefuneh. So they are brothers from their mother. And Asnel ben Kenaz conquers the city, Vayitanos Achsa Bitolisho, and Kalev gives him Achsa, his daughter, as a wife. Now again, there is something going on much deeper over here. This story is not just a story about one man conquering an area. We have to understand, we have to go back to the Gemara in Temura, which describes the moment of Moshe Rabbeinu passing away. And again, we remember learning that as Moshe is lying on his deathbed, he turns to Yoshua's Talmud and he says to him, is there anything else you'd like me to teach you? And Yoshua says, Rebbe, I like barely left your side for a moment. No, there is nothing else I need to learn. And Yoshua is actually punished. And at that moment, 300 different halachos leave his mind, 700 different doubts creep into his mind. And the people are ready to kill him. So much Torah has been lost. We've lost Moshe Rabbeinu, and now we've lost all of this Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu there told him, Yoshua, you know, get up. Don't let the people kill you. Don't give them a reason to get up and just get them busy. Start trying to conquer the land, cross over into the land. But for all of these years, you can imagine Klal Yisrael is disappointed, frustrated, and wanting to get back all of this lost Torah. And what is happening in these pesukim, says the Gemara, is that Kalev was setting a challenge. He wasn't saying who can physically capture the city, although he was also saying that. What he was saying is, who is it that can bring back all of this lost Torah learning to Am Yisrael? And the Gemara there says, Hechziran Asnel ben Kenaz mitoch pilpilo. It's going to be Asnel ben Kenaz with his deep analytical form of learning that's going to be able to bring back some of this lost Torah to Am Yisrael. And Kiryas Sefer, says the Gemara, in Temura Daf Tesayin 16, tells us that Kiryat Sefer, which literally means the village of the brook, is homiletically interpreted as a reference to those parts of Torah that was forgotten, while the phrase took it is referring to Asniel's ability and learning skills. So Asnel ben Kenaz, says the Gemara, this amazing Talmud Chacham of enormous stature who's able to not just conquer a city, but really to bring back all of this lost Torah to Am Yisrael. We know that later on, he is going to be the one who takes over from Yehoshua at the end of, after Yehoshua passes away and the period of Shoftim begins. Asnel is going to be the first one of our leaders. The Pesukim then continue and tell us that after their marriage, she's going to try to persuade her husband to speak to their father. Radak says she's unsuccessful in persuading her husband, so she herself goes to Kalev and she says, she tries to convince him and, you know, to ask him to go to her father, to ask him for sadeh, a field. She, though, falls off the donkey, i.e., ends up being her who goes. Vayomer la Kalev. And Kalev says to her, you know, what's this drama falling off a donkey? Malach, what's going on with you? What would you like? Pasuk Yutes Vatomer, and she says, Tnali bracha, give me a bracha. Ki eret ha-negev nesatani, you gave me a land in the Negev. Venasati li gulos mayim, please give me springs of water. Vayitina es gulos elios ves gulos taktios. And Kalev says to her, okay, I'm going to give you upper springs and lower springs. And again, a very strange story. What exactly is going on over here? The Gemara does understand that she was saying to her father, listen, the area you've given me is not great. Please, I need a little more help with Parnassa. My husband is deeply immersed in Torah learning. I'm going to somehow need to make ends meet. I need a better portion. I need more water. But we can understand the story on a slightly deeper level. Just like she understood who she'd married. She understood that she'd now been married to Osnil ben Kanaz's unbelievable Talmud Chacham, and she asks her father for a further bracha. She says, "Tnali bracha, Dad, give me a blessing that this man I'm married to will have upper springs and lower springs. Water is always, you know, a mashal for Torah." She says to her father, "Please bless us that this man should have more and more access to Torah learning." The Gemara actually tells us that Osniel's name meant Ana El. Hashem answered him. This man was an immensely great person. In Divrei Hayamim, we hear he has another name. There he's called Yavetz. And if we read the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, we hear Vayikra Yavetz Leloke Yisrael Lemar. Yavetz calls out, this is Osniel ben Kenaz, calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "In Beirach Tavarcheni, bless me, Vihirbesi Eskavuli, enlarge my portion, Vahayischa Yadcha Emi, and your hand should be with me." So again, it seems a little bit similar. Osniel, or Yavetz as he's called here, seems to be asking a very similar thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his wife Achsa had asked to her father Kalev. And the Gemara there says, what exactly was Osniel or Yavetz asking? He was saying, "In Beirach Tavarcheni, bless me." He was really saying, "Grant me more Torah. V'herbisa es gvulai, increase my borders." He was asking, really, b'talmidim. He wanted more and more talmidim. And v'haisecha yadcha imi, your hand should be with me. What he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu there was, shelo yishtakech talmudim milibi, I should never forget any of my learning. So we meet this unbelievable couple, Osniel ben Kenaz and Achsa, the daughter of Kalev, who teach us at this moment as we're conquering the land the importance of, you know, the vitalness of Torah learning. And we hear how it was Osniel ben Kenaz who returns all of this lost Torah to Am Yisrael. We do actually have a burial site for Osniel ben Kenaz. It's not particularly accessible. It lies in the heart of the Arab part of Hebron. But in the writings of Binyamin of Tudela, the writer and traveler who visited Eretz Yisrael in around the year 1165, he writes in his book 8 Years in Asia and Africa that outside the city towards the south, he's describing Hebron, is in a vineyard which was purchased by the Jews on the graves of the father of King David. We have a kever for Yishai in Hebron, and of the first judge Osniel ben Kenaz. Like we said, the perek continues at this point with a list of all the cities in the different territories in Yehuda, and the perek ends telling us a very important point. Pasuk Samach Gimel, the Sayavusi Yoshvei Yerushalayim, the Jebusites who lived in Yerushalayim, Lo Yochlu Bnei Yehuda Lahorisham, the Bnei Yehuda were not able to drive them out. Vayeshev Hayavusi Es Bnei Yehuda Yerushalayim, and the Jebusites live with the tribe of Yehuda in Yerushalayim Atayomazan till this day. And to this day really means to the time of David HaMelech, when David captured the Jebusite city and renamed it. This ends the perek. Why did Bnei Yisrael not drive out the Yavusi? To be honest, says Rashi, from a military point of view, they definitely could have driven out the Yavusi, but rather this was part of a promise. Avram Avinu had made a promise with Avimelech that for several generations, his children would not drive out Avimelech's grandchildren from the land, and the Jebusites were descendants of Avimelech, and it wasn't going to be therefore until the time of David HaMelech that Bnei Yisrael could actually really take over this city, this area of Yerushalayim. And again, we see just like Bnei Yisrael kept their promise with regards to the Givonim, here too they're going to keep their promise to the Jebusites. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, Bella Oppenheimer, Alena Shalin, Ashut Chayel, who live with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avod, and Gemilas Chassam, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful day.